Blog Talk Radio.
You can't do that. What are you thinking? You are not good enough. You are not going to get that job. You don't have an education. What? That is for smart people, not you. That outfit doesn't look good on you. You look ridiculous. You want to go where? With what? Money you don't have? Remember, you're broke and worthless. Nobody loves you. This is the voice of the toxic ego, the voice that is holding you back from your divine life. Dr. Nydia is here to guide you in learning to let go of this voice. She is here to teach you inner work, a journey through the soul, to empower you in creating a passageway to spiritual development. Dr. Nydia received her PhD from Union Institute and University in Psychology with emphasis in addiction studies. She is a registered clinical social worker intern and received her master's degree from Barry University. She is a certified addiction professional for the state of Florida. She is also a Reiki master, healing touch practitioner, and a master hypnotherapist. For more information, visit her website at www.dranidia.com, Dr. Nydia. Now, please welcome your host of Inner Work, Dr. Nydia.
And good afternoon. This is Dr. Nydia, and today I'm all alone. Alma is out singing somewhere, so we're going to be just you and I. Now, the topic of today's show is the power of your essence. Most of us, I know I've talked a lot about the toxic ego and everything that's wrong and how to identify our toxic ego. Most of us don't know how to identify our essence. And in order to give our essence the power that will create the changes in our lives that we want, there are three things that we must do. One is we must be willing to reach the next level. Two, we must have the ability to change. In other words, we need to do the footwork. The willingness to go to the next level, that's just something that you say, okay, I'm willing. You don't have to do. There is no action there. In the ability to change, there is, because you have to do the footwork. You have to get up and you have to move and you have to make decisions and you have to make the changes. And three, you must have a burning desire to make those changes. You need to get excited. You need to be able to see it. Later on, we'll be talking about our visualization and what we do with our mind and how we're always thinking about negatives and not really looking at what we really want. Understand that pain does not change anyone. We know people look around, look at the newspapers, look at the cities. Many people in ghettos are hurting. Low-level income people, they're hurting, but yet they don't change. People in jail, people in prison, they hurt, they're hurting, they don't want to be there, but they come out and do the same thing and go right back in again. So there's no change there. Pain, what pain does for some of us is to motivate the desire to change. I know when I was actively using drugs and alcohol and out there being crazy, what finally got me to change was what I learned later on was that I reached my bottom. And so when we reach that bottom where we say, uncle, okay, I can't take this pain anymore, then a change can happen. then we can have the motivation to change, the ability to change. If you think in your life all the times that you've really, really, really wanted something, I mean, you really, really wanted it, whether it was in your best interest or not, and you went out there and you decided, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to get, and you go out and you get it, and you've gotten it. And even though it was against all odds, you managed to get it, which means you have the ability to do what you want, whether you know it or not. You have that ability to change. What happens is that you may not have the motivation. Okay? And when you don't have the motivation, you don't see, well, why should I get up? Why should I move? Why should I make a change? When I first married my husband, the one I'm separated, I'm divorced from now, he was working in a factory. Now, he was a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant man. He is an electrician. And in his country, he comes from Guatemala. And in his country, you don't buy parts. You don't buy bulbs. You don't buy stuff until they totally, totally worn out or are broken or unrepairable. They repair everything. And he was able to. We had lamps at home that were beautiful that he would pick up in garbage cans. They were beautiful. It's just that the wiring or something was wrong with it. And he would go and we had really, really gorgeous lamps. And this man worked in a factory because he felt that in this country, that's all he could do. Until I encouraged him to go back to school, and he did. He went back to school, and he got all kinds of licenses, and he's a licensed electrician today. And everything changed when he realized, and the only reason he changed was we used to live in Passaic, New Jersey. And in Passaic, New Jersey in 80-something, there was a big, big fire. And Passaic, New Jersey is an industrial town, or it was, I don't know if it still is. It was an industrial town, and all the factories, big, big, major factories, were in Passaic, down by the river. And one 4th of July or Labor Day or one of those days, a bunch of kids went to the factories. Everything was empty because, you know, nobody was working. It was a long weekend, and they started playing with the firecrackers. Well, there was a factory there that was, I think it was the 101 Flushes. And the kids put firecrackers in the cans, in the big garbage cans, and started blowing them up and created a fire that destroyed practically every factory there, which meant that everybody in town lost their jobs because it took days for that fire to go out. And it was declared, the president declared it a disaster area, and it was really horrible. Then when he tried to find work, he couldn't. Because, you know, the more people can do factory work, the less chances you have of getting a job. So this is what happened to him. So the government came in and created classes and schools and whatnot for those people who had lost their jobs to go back to school. And that's what motivated him to go back to school, because he knew that he now had to start from scratch if he wanted to go back and work in a factory, which in those days was $3 an hour. And he was already making maybe, I don't know, $7, $8 an hour, which was a lot to him because he didn't know the difference between really making money and just getting by. And so he went back to school. He got his GED. And then he decided to go back to a class, take a class. And we moved from New Jersey to Florida. And here he decided to get his license for as an electrician. And it was very simple for him because that's what he knew. And so he was very excited. He would spend hours and hours studying. He was motivated. He had the ability. He had the willingness. And he was excited. And this is all you need. And his whole life changed after that. Because when he got a job, he got a job. He got a good job every time. And he got... And he was known in the industry, and the companies knew him because, and you know, he worked in construction. So in construction, people work from one company to another company because of the contract and the job. But when he was poor, shall I say, he wasn't motivated to change. He was fine. I have insurance. I have a job. It pays me well. I can pay my bills. Why should I move on? And he had to make that decision when he lost his job. And thousands of other people lost their jobs at the same time. The thing is that when we're comfortable, we don't move. We may not be exactly where we want to be, but we're not hurting that much. And so we don't get motivated to change. When I was 51 years old, I looked around and I said, oh, my God, when I become an old person, I'm going to be living off of cat food or dog food because I don't have, you know, the ability to do anything else. And I decided then, right then and there, I said, I'm going back to school. And I didn't stop until I got my PhD. And it doesn't matter how old you are, because I used to say, no, I'm already too old. Yeah, I have some college credits, and I can work in an office, and I can do this. But I wasn't motivated to really do the footwork, do what I had to do to move, because why? Until I saw my future, and it was not very bright. So you have to move. Pain. It's so, you move only when the pain is so unbearable that you can't stay there anymore. Your essence has the ability for change when you're willing to change. Only humble people ask for help. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. We ask for help every day. There's people that say, oh, I'll never ask for anybody for help. Well, you know what? You go to the grocery store. You don't make your own food. You have other people. You get on public transportation. You buy cars. You depend on other people having what you want or what you need for you to have the kind of life that you want. And so even if you take public transportation, there's somebody there driving that bus or that train taking you to where you want to go. You don't walk from miles and miles and miles to go to work. No, you find the way to get there. And a lot of times, someone else has to take us there. You sit in front of a television and you watch the news and you watch the weatherman. And you know what's going on around the world because someone is standing there giving you that information. And you think that's not asking for help? Yes, it is, because you're not doing it. Somebody else is doing it for you, and you depend on these people. You depend on the supermarket to be open so you can buy your food. You depend on the farmers somewhere out there that you don't even know where they are or who they are to bring you your food. To bring it into the supermarket so that the supermarket people can organize it on their shelves and you can go in there and just pick them. You don't do that. They do that. And a lot of times when it comes to really, really, really important things, which is your soul, your very existence, you don't ask for help. Every time you get sick, you go to the doctor. and you depend on the doctor to give you the right information. You don't question a doctor when he says you have laryngitis. You don't question the doctor when he says you have a migraine. You don't question the doctor when he gives you a prescription and say, here, fill this, take it twice a day, and call me in the morning, sort of speak. And so we do ask for help on a daily basis. What we don't do is ask for help on life questions. We don't have a manual. And so we have to depend on other people who can do for us what we can't do for ourselves. And so when we ask, when we reach out to someone and say, could you tell me how I can do this? Could you explain to me what this means? That's being humble. Humility is the ability to accept things just as they are. So if you don't know something, and this is the major problem that we have, when we don't know something, we don't ask. I mean, it's an ongoing joke that men will drive all the way around the world lost, but they won't ask for directions. Okay? So it's a matter of understanding that there's nothing wrong with asking for directions. Allow yourself to be humble enough to say, I don't know this. Now, the thing is that In order for us to really be able to do the things that we want to do and grow and be part of forward movement. Now the president has this logo, this theme of forward movement. Let's move ahead. Let's get out of. Let's unstuck ourselves. We tend to be stuck a lot of the time, and we can't seem to just move in any direction. And so what we have to learn to do is to learn how to have order in our life, how to organize ourselves, how to arrange things in our lives, so that everything falls into place. You realize, if you look at where is your nose? Is your nose on top of your head? Obviously not, because if it were, we'd all drown. The very first time it rains, boom, we're gone. Right? So the universe has created us in such a way where we're not going to drown the first time it rains. And so everything has to be in order. You have three parts of your life. We have three parts, three aspects of our life. We have our home. We have our spirituality. And we have our work, or however we create our income. Okay? And those three things have to be divided evenly. You have a family. You have to divide your time between your family and making sure that you have that communication and that love and that existence with the people that you love, that communication, the talking to them, the laughing with them, the playing with them, the growing with them, whatever it is that you do with your family, there has to be time for that. There has to be time when you have to go to work and earn a living. So you go to work. You don't become a workaholic and ignore your family. No, you work, you do what you have to do at work, then you go home and then you're with your family. And that has to be divided evenly. And then there's your spirituality. And I'm not talking about religion for those of us who don't believe in religion. We don't have to believe in religion. Our spirituality is our essence, who we are as people. Our how we feel, how we deal with things on a daily basis, how peaceful we are in life, how that part of us that's angry all the time, that's part of your spirit. You know, when we talk about, you know, a horse's spirit, we talk about breaking a horse's spirit. And what they do is that in order to ride a horse, you have to break its spirit. In other words, he can't be a wild horse just doing what it wants, running up and down and getting into things. No. And that's fine with a horse because we use horses as part of our job. Farmers use the horses. People ride the horses to get from one place to another. So this is what is acceptable in our culture and in society as a whole. So fine, that's what happens with horses. When we do it with people, which is one of the things that my father did with me, he would beat me and he would tell me that he had to break my spirit. And he was trying to break my spirit because I was curious. I was all over the place. I was probably had ADD or whatever that is, whatever those things are. I was active. I was curious. I got into everything. And I was a child. And he couldn't handle that, so he had to break my spirit, which, thank you, Lord, it never happened. But that's what we do. And we break our own spirits. Oh, I can't do that. No, I can't. And we're always whining, bitching, and complaining about something because we don't want to do something or we don't see what's the point. Like, my husband used to, when we first got together, I'm good. He'd come home from work, he'd watch television for a little while, take a bath and go to bed. Get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work, come back, the same routine every day. There was no joy in his life, and there was no excitement in his life. Once he started to change, his whole life changed. He became a happier person. He would laugh. He would make jokes. We had a lot of fun. And throughout our lives, yeah, we grew apart, but we're still very good friends because he's a wonderful person. But the point is that his whole life was just getting up, going to work, coming home, boom, that was it. And once in a while, he'd go to church. And he's a church person, so he goes to church. But he wasn't a happy person. And this is what happens to a lot of us. We just get into that routine, and, you can set a watch by our routine. So what we have to do is we have to understand that we have to maintain some kind of order in our life. We can't be all over the place and overextending, burning the candles at both ends. And overextending ourselves. We have to be willing to do and maintain that balance within everything that we do. And part of what we do when it comes to work, that implies education, because you have to learn how to do your job. And so a lot of times we want to go back to school and we want to, because we want to move on, we want to go to that next level. And we can't do it unless we learn something. A lot of these towns in this country where factories have closed and companies have gone out of business and all of that, people are re-educating themselves to the new, the modern way of thinking. People who used to work in factories have been replaced by robots. So what do? Now a robot has your job, and it doesn't cost as much for the employers because the employers are saving money because they have robots. And in the long run, it's cheaper for them to produce their products. But then what happens to us? So we have to learn how to run those robots, and we have to learn all of the new technology that's coming up. I mean, if we're not willing to do that, then we're going to die. Then we're just going to go into a rut. We're going to be miserable. The other day, a friend of Alma's brother took his life. He shot himself. And he had been miserable for a while. His whole family had been miserable. He was full of control. He was full of rage. And everything had to be perfect. And he had put his son on a diet. And his son sneaked a cookie or something, a candy or something. And he just went crazy. And he shot himself. I mean, does that make sense? It makes sense for somebody who's trying to do the impossible. But does it work? No. Is it going to take somebody to the next spiritual level? No. All it's going to do is get you stuck right where you are, and you're not going to be able to move. And you don't want that. Oh, well, maybe you do. I don't know. But I don't want that. And most of us don't want that. Most of us want to move on. We want to go forward. We want a better life. You know, everybody in this country that came here from somewhere else, they came here because they were looking for a better life. I know my parents were. They came here because where they were, there was too much poverty and a lot of ignorance. My father came here and he went to school and he went to school and he went to school. And he never got out of where the rut that he was in because he was so rigid and he couldn't think flexibly. He couldn't think that his family could be, let your family be, let them grow, allow them to grow. No, he everything had to be his way, the way it's always been. And that's what he used to tell me. This is the right way because this is the way it's always been. And, well, you know, what makes it the right way just because it's always been that way? It's like investing your money and throwing good money after bad money when you're investing it on something that's not working. And you keep putting money into it and putting money, you know, these cars that we hold on to our old cars because we can't afford to buy a new one. And then we fix and we fix and we fix. And now it's costing more and more and more to fix, you know. And every time you fix something, something else breaks. And so, no, you have to know how to say, okay, I give up. I'm done. Next. Let's go to the next level. But we have to be able to begin by maintaining some kind of order in our life. And then we have to learn how to communicate. I work in a place where I work in a university, Union Institute University. I work there, and there are certain people there that are very inflexible. Some of the professors are so inflexible that when they say, okay, this is your cutoff time, after that, they don't allow their students to turn in any work. Union Institute and University is a university for adult students. It's for people who work all day, who have a family. And sometimes they will fall behind on something or another. And we have to allow them to okay, so your deadline is Sunday, but go ahead, turn it in on Monday. I don't have a problem with that. Yesterday, I was with a student who had done all of her work. She did all of her work for the whole semester. Every week, they have to turn in something. She had done it all. She didn't know how to turn it in because we're an online university. And she's been here already for I don't know, a year or so. And she by now, she should know how to turn in her work, but she doesn't. And so I made an appointment with her, and I usually don't go in on Saturdays. I went in on Saturday. I organized it, and the only thing she didn't have was one of her papers, which was the second paper, and we're already up to the sixth week. And I said to her, okay, so we organized everything. She put in all of the work that she did have, and I said, okay, give it to me next week. Why would I not allow her? She's doing what she's supposed to do. And there are some things that she doesn't have the ability to do. She had to learn how to do it. And so I showed her what she needed to do. I helped her organize all of her work. We spent a couple of hours there just helping her to move to this next level. Why wouldn't I want to do that? It's exciting to me to know that there's a human being on this planet that I gave a hand to and pulled her up to another level. What that's exciting to me. And I talk to other professors, and they say, no, they should know. They already have been here a while. I'm not going to. Why? What is the purpose of not being there for somebody else? And then you ask yourself, and I look at the lives of these people, and they're miserable. And I can understand why. Because we have to be able to help each other. The world is in a miserable state as it is. Why am I going to be one of those miserable people? I choose not to be. And I don't care who's miserable around me. I simply just don't aggravate myself. People are the way they are. And there's somebody in my job that twice I said something to her, and she as much as said, talk to the hand. I'm busy right now. I can't do this. This is the way I am. You got to accept me the way I am. I thought, okay. But you know what? If that's the way you are, you can't be part of my life. When it comes to my job, and there's something that you say hello and goodbye, and if I have to discuss anything with you as far as the job is concerned, I don't have a problem, and I'll treat you with the dignity and respect that you deserve. But other than that, no, don't come chit-chatting to me. Because if you're going to disrespect me when we need to do work, then no, it just doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. And I don't feel bad because I put somebody aside, because I'm not going to be miserable just because somebody else is miserable. It doesn't work that way. So when it comes to everyday life, when it comes to everyday things, when we want to be happy, but we do everything that's not allowing us to be happy, then you have to ask yourself the question, what am I doing to create this? Now, here's the thing. We have to be able to get excited, to celebrate, once we communicate with people and we communicate with love and respect, and this is the whole point of it. You don't just yeah to somebody. No, you listen. When my kids come to talk to me, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. I stop what I'm doing. I look at them and I make eye contact and I listen. When anybody comes to me to talk to me about whatever it is, even if I'm not interested, I will stop what I'm doing and I will make eye contact, because that's communication, listening to another person. You never know what they're going to say that's going to benefit you. You never know what you're going to say that's going to benefit them. A lot of times I say things that I just say it because it's part of the conversation. And they say, oh, my God, I just got it. Boom, like a light went off in their head, and they got something. I didn't tell them because I was lighting anything for them. But for them, they needed to hear that. And there are times when people say something, and it's like, boom, I got it. And we communicate. We don't have to know. We don't have to say, I'm going to give you this information so you can live a better life. No, you don't know what's going to benefit somebody else. You just start throwing out. It's a seed. You start planting that seed. Don't worry about who's going to be able to allow that seed to grow, because you don't know what's fertile and what's not. So allowing yourself just to communicate, listen to people, allow them to listen to you. Don't be bothered with people that aren't listening. If they're not listening, move on. A lot of times we want somebody to listen. Ma, listen to me. Dad, listen to me. No, they're not listening. Find somebody else that will listen. Because why is it that we have to have that specific person to listen? My husband doesn't listen to me. Well, then find somebody else who will. I don't mean have an affair with anybody else. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if you have something to say and it's important, find someone who wants to have that conversation with you or is willing to have that conversation with you. Don't force anybody to have a conversation with you that they don't want to have, because they also have the right not to listen. And so when somebody has to write, when somebody doesn't want to listen to me, I move on. I can't be bothered trying to convince somebody to like me. You either like me or you don't. And if you like me, fine. And if you don't, that's fine too. Because we all have the same ability, the same rights and responsibilities to be on this planet as the next person. And so when we're communicating, learn to listen. Learn to give the information. Don't go on and on and on and on. I have a friend who I tell her, I'm sorry, I can't continue to listen, because, I mean, she will give me, she will take hours and hours and hours to answer a yes or no question. And so I have to, you know, bring her back. Okay, what's the point? And what's the point? And what's the point? And she's learning how to get to the point. But she just talks and talks and talks and talks to the point where, oh, my God, I can't deal with this. And, yeah, you don't have to deal with this. I don't have the maturity to do a lot of things. And I have to be able to say, you know what, I don't have the maturity to deal with this right now or to deal with this at all. And that's humility, being able to look at yourself and say, okay, this is who I am, and this is how I am, and fine. So if there are any changes that need to be made, let me look. And if I can change them, I will. And if I can't, if I don't have the maturity or the ability right now to change it, then I won't. So once you learn how to communicate, once you know that you have to maintain your life in some kind of order, your letter, your communications, your celebrations, get excited. Get excited. I had a friend. She got mad at me. I don't know why she got mad at me, but she got mad at me. And she called me up one day and she says, I just got a job offer, and it's paying more money than I'm making now, and it's got better benefits and blah, 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 but I'm afraid to move. And I said to her, listen, get excited. Actually, no. What happened was that her job got eliminated. She worked for the government, and her job got eliminated. And so she had a year. They told her, you have a year, you know, within this year we will be downsizing until eventually within a year we'll be closing this branch of whatever that government agency was. And so she called me, and she was all scared, and she says, I'm so afraid, and blah, 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 and I don't know what to do. I said, start sending out your resume. And she did. And then she got an offer in this big, humongous company doing pretty much the same thing, but in an organization, in a corporation. And she said, oh, I'm so scared. I don't know what to do. What if I? I said, listen, get excited. Now is your opportunity. This place is closing down. This is a chapter that's closing in your life. Now you can get excited, because now you can move on. And so she applied for the job, and she got it. And she's been the happiest person. Every time I speak to her, she tells me it's the best decision she has ever made. It's close to her home, which the other one was miles and miles and miles away. The people are friendlier, the people are nicer. It's not so bureaucratic, even though, and she has a specific job to do there. And she's an expert in what she does. So I told her, get excited. Whenever there's a possibility of change, and there's something that you can do different, get excited, because that means that good stuff is coming. But we think of the worst. So what if I don't get it? What if? Yeah, well, what if the dog wanted to stop to take a poop? He wouldn't have caught the rabbit. So it's important that we understand that we have to get excited. We have to be willing. Let's be willing. Let's get excited. Let's make life as wonderful and as interesting as we can. And we have the power to do that. When we're always whining and complaining and worried, and that's the toxic ego. It's that part of us that is only looking at what's wrong with the world. Your essence looks at what's right with the world. And remember, be careful what you ask for. When you think, if you're unhappy, look at your thoughts. Your thoughts are unhappy. So as long as you say, you know, I have a friend that says, if it weren't for my bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. Well, and this person has a lot of bad luck. Terrible things happen to her because this is what she's creating. She expects these bad things to happen to her. People fighting with her. She's fighting with people. And she doesn't understand what's wrong. Why is all this happening to her? Well, it's happening because that's what you're focusing on. So if you focus on your toxic ego, then everything that the toxic ego has to offer is what you're going to get. If you focus on your essence, then everything your essence has to give you, it will give you because you're asking for it. So if you're thinking of, I'm going to be miserable in this job, you're going to be miserable in that job. I don't know why my kids disrespect me all the time. Well, that's because you're always disrespecting them. And so another thing we have to understand is one of our other potentials, what makes us change from the toxic ego to the essence, the power of your essence. A lot of people have a problem believing that there's a God or there's an essence or there's something good. Or we have a problem. We call them atheists and agnostics and stuff like that. But we don't believe. Oh yeah, God exists, but for other people, not for me. And so life becomes miserable for us. Now, however, if we look, a song is a proof of a composer. In other words, a song doesn't just happen. Somebody composed the song. So if you hear the song, you don't know who the composer is. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Usually we don't. But you know, somebody composed it. Somebody put it together. Somebody's playing it. Behind the scenes, a lot of stuff had to happen. A lot of people had to be there. A lot of energy had to be expelled for that song to be where it is right now, you listening to it. So you have to believe that that song didn't just materialize in somebody's mouth and they opened their mouth and out came the song. No, somebody composed it. Somebody put it together. Somebody decided to add music to it. And a book is proof of an author. You don't open a book and say, oh, look what I found, a book. It just materialized. No, somebody wrote it. A product is proof of a manufacturer. I have a phone in my hand. Somebody produced this phone. It was manufactured somewhere. Somebody made it. Somebody had the idea to make it. I mean, behind the scenes, somebody created it. And a creation is proof of a creator. So you can call it what you want. Doesn't matter to me. Whatever floats your boat, like my son used to say. Whatever allows you to say, what keeps my heart beating? What keeps the blood flowing through my veins? I'm not doing it. It's getting done. How did this happen? How did this machine called Dr. Nevia function? How does it function? How does it get up in the morning and go to bed? And there are things that I do that that just happen in my body, like my heart beating. I don't go in there and pump my heart. I don't inflate and deflate my lungs. I don't, you know, I breathe in and I breathe out, and it's automatic. How is it that we run when we run? Because we got scared, or we chose to run, or we're in a marathon, or whatever. So how does this happen? There has to be something greater than me, and you can call it what you want. Call it your higher power. Call it God. Call it Allah. Call it Buddha. Call it whatever you want. It doesn't matter. But you need to understand that, there's something more to this than meets the eye, because, you know, what's out there that's allowing all of this stuff to happen? You know, there are stars out there in the sky that aren't falling. There's this earth that's floating around in the universe, and it's not shooting out of orbit, and it's doing what it's supposed to. How is that happening? Who created that? If something exists, something had to create it. At least that's what I believe. I don't think things just materialize out of nowhere because, you know, this is okay, so it just happens. No, it doesn't. That doesn't happen like that. Something happens, and when that happens, something is created. When you do something, there's a reaction. What is that? I can't remember what it is. Every action has a reaction, something like that. So if we're here, how did I get here? What am I doing here? How long am I going to be here? How long am I not going to be here? Who, you know, there's a lot of questions we can ask. The wonderful thing is that we're here. I'm 70 years old, and I'm above ground, and I'm the happiest person in the world just because I'm above ground. That, to me, is wonderful. The fact that last month I had a clogged artery, 90% clogged, and I went into a hospital, and these doctors who I don't even know cut me up, opened me up, cleaned me out, and here I am again. And all of a sudden, I'm not walking around in a fog anymore. Hey, when your arteries are 90% clogged, especially, you know, with my carotid artery that goes to the brain, yeah, I was like living in a fog all the time. And I couldn't understand why. And I thought, well, I'm old, that's probably why. Well, no. No, because now I'm not in a fog anymore. I remember stuff. Before I was forgetting, and I'm going like, oh, shoot, you know, Alzheimer's? No, I hope not. No, I had a clogged artery. They opened it up, and now I'm still above ground. And who knows, maybe tomorrow I won't be, but today I am. That's what's important. Stay in the present and look around and get excited. And no matter what you have or don't have, if you want something, go out and get it. If it's okay, if you don't want it bad enough, then don't get it. But don't keep worrying about stuff that really are unimportant. If you can't remember today what you did 6 months ago, this very moment, at this very time, then it wasn't important. I remember June 23rd, 1995, because that's when my son passed away. That was important. Anything else? Not important. I can't give you dates and times of stuff that happened in my life. Some stuff, yes. Very little stuff. Trust me when I tell you, nothing is very that important. Nothing is so important that I am going to get upset because it's happening or it isn't happening. Life is too short to concern myself with unimportant nonsense. And that's what most of us focus on. We focus on stuff that we're going to be worrying about. And we worry about stuff that make absolutely no sense to us or to anybody else. And in 6 months, will I remember this? No. Will I remember that? Probably not. It has to be something really, really important for me to remember, like losing my child. That I remember. See? So we have to take into consideration that the only thing we have is right now. We don't have anything else. So why are we worried? If somebody loves us or doesn't love us, you know what? Who cares? Do you love yourself? Or do you love yourself, other people more than you love yourself? Then it's not worth it. I'm not interested in what in other people. Well, let me put it this way. I'm interested in other people's lives, in how I can be a positive influence in somebody else's life. What I'm not interested in is in being part of their misery. I have people say to me, oh, but you don't understand. And I tell them, that's right, I don't understand. I don't understand why you choose to be so miserable and why you make the decisions that you make to be miserable and then want to blame somebody else. We don't take responsibility most of the time when we're in our toxic ego. We don't take responsibility for the decisions that we make. And we're constantly worrying that people are going to, what they're going to think of us. What are they going to think of me? I don't care. You can think of me anything you want, because your decision about me doesn't change anything in my life. My decision about you doesn't change anything in your life. You change things in your life. I change things in my life. So if you hate me or you love me, it's the same thing. I mean, it's nice to be loved, but you know what? No plus. The thing is that I am who I am, and I decide what I'm going to change, not anybody else. And if somebody doesn't like me, fine. I don't need those people in my life, and neither do you. So now what we want to do is we want to work on finding our essence. Now, the mind has two functions before it's almost time for us to finish. The mind has two functions. The memory, to replay past events. The imagination, to replay future events. Now, when I say to replay past events, I'm not talking about the miserable past events. I'm talking about what we've learned in our past. Because since all you have is today, and we're building, imagine that your life, you're an engineer, and your life is this building that you're creating. Now, you don't want to put rotten planks and garbage into your building. No, you want to put the finest, the best into your building. You want to be able to look around the world and see what you've, from all of your experiences, what were the best experiences, and bring them into your present so that you can learn how to be happy today. Remember David and Goliath? David, when he saw Goliath, he didn't think, oh, my God, this thing is going to kill me. It's going to destroy me. I can't do anything. No. David remembered it somewhere in his psyche that if in the past I have killed animals, I've hunted and I've killed animals, and this is how I did it. And so when he decided to take his slingshot and pull it back, he didn't aim the slingshot at his toe. No, he aimed it at a vulnerable part of Goliath. And so he was able to bring down Goliath because he remembered how to shoot his slingshot and where it would do the most damage. and where, how to protect himself. So when you have things in your life, in your daily life today, how have you solved problems in the past? What did you do to solve a situation that was difficult for you when something happened in your past? Bring that back and use it so that you can solve a problem today. See, in my life, in the past, I learned that when people are angry and they're yelling at me, all I have to do is get up and walk away. I have the right to do that. So when I feel that I'm being mistreated, and make no mistake, I understand when I'm being mistreated. It's not something I'm making up and I think somebody's mistreated. No, I know when somebody is being rude and disrespectful to me. And I have made a choice not to allow that to happen in my life anymore, regardless of who it is. It could be my family, it could be my kids, it could be anybody. I will get up and I will walk away. Not because I'm tough or I'm nasty or I'm a bitch. No, because I don't have the maturity to stand there and yell and scream back at them, and then they yell and scream back at me, and then I get all upset. I don't want to be upset anymore. I made a choice not to allow myself to get upset anymore. And this is where I am right now. And so when that happens, I can get up, walk away, and it doesn't matter to me what that the impression I'm making on the person I'm walking away from, because I have to keep myself safe and I have to protect myself. And the important thing is not that people love me or what are they going to think about me. I don't care. So when you are doing things today, remember, go back. If you're going to go back and replay the past events, then find something that was positive, something that's going to bring pleasure, and it's going to keep you safe and protected. And then when you look at the future, plan for your future. There's nothing wrong with planning. Don't live in the future, but plan for your future. Allow yourself to say, okay, I'm going to take a vacation, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Go ahead, do it. Make plans for that. Don't live there. Don't constantly be thinking of what you're going to do in the future, but say, okay, I'm going to take a trip in 2 weeks. What do I need to do today to make that happen? And bring yourself constantly into the present. Remember, your life is miserable because you don't know things. So allow yourself to learn, become wise, make wise decisions. Learn, when you were happy, what were you doing? That's a decision that you can make again. Okay, so if I get up and I walk away, that's going to make me feel comfortable. That's going to make me feel good. So then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just get up and walk away, because that's going to make me feel safe. And I need to be safe, because I've always been unsafe. I come from a very difficult childhood. And so because I come from that difficult childhood, and I was beaten all the time, and I was tortured, and I was burnt, now I have to keep myself safe. And I don't care who gets in my way. I will keep myself safe. Because that's my job. That's my responsibility. That's not somebody else's responsibility. I can't depend on my husband or my children or anybody else to make me happy, because that doesn't work. And I can't expect them to keep me safe. Okay? So I have to do that to myself. So for myself. So now we have, oh my gosh, we're almost finished. But our time is running out, so I will see you next week. I hope you enjoyed. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Inner Work with your host, Dr. Nydia. For more information on Dr. Nydia, please visit her website at www.draninidia.com. Dr. Nydia. And for radio show information, visit www.earthdia.com. earthangelsradio.com. That's earthangelsradio.com. Dr. Nydia will help you to face your inner self.